بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our fifth lecture dealing with the topic of al-Iman, or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous sessions, we talked about in some detail the definition of Iman according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that it includes speech and action, speech of the heart and speech of the tongue, and actions of the heart and the tongue and the limbs of the body, and that Iman increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience, and that the people of Iman differ, and that some of them exceed or excel or surpass others, that the people of Iman are not equal in their Iman. And then we talked about each one of these points, about the speech, what is speech of Iman, and what is action of Iman, reference to the heart and the tongue and the limbs of the body, and the proofs of increase and decrease of Iman, and also the proofs concerning the superiority of some of the people of Iman over others. We talked about all of this in some detail. And last week we talked about what is the meaning of Iman in Allah specifically. And before we go on to the questions that follow, we'd like to review what we discussed last week from the questions in the study guide. That is study guide number 4. And the first question was question number 43 from the book, مَا مَعْنَى الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani, what is the meaning of Iman in Allah, faith in Allah, the Mighty, the Majestic? What is the meaning of Iman, faith in Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ? نعم. نعم. Huh?
Put your trust totally in Allah from the bottom of your heart.
Okay, to put your trust in Allah from the bottom of your heart. It's part of what he said. نعم. What else? نعم. Ahmed.
Tasdiq al-jazim, from the depth of the heart.
نعم. At-tasdiq al-jazim, from the depth of the heart. What do you mean by at-tasdiq al-jazim?
Certainty and definiteness.
Definiteness, certainty. نعم.
In Allah's divine being.
And Allah's divine being is that. Naam. What else can we add to that? Naam. Talib.
He is first and nothing is before him.
Okay, he mentioned also some of the names of Allah. Al-Awwal. يعني ليس قبله شيء. Al-Akhir. ليس بعده شيء. To the end of what he said about that. What else? Important part of the definition also. Naam.
Believe in the rububiyyah of Allah.
Naam. To establish the tawheed of Allah's rububiyyah. Naam. What else?
Rububiyyah.
Somebody else. Uluhiyah. Now, what else? Somebody else. And we said, in summary, the Shaykh, Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he said that, he mentioned in that definition that there were four essential matters that are part of Iman in Allah. The first of them is what the brother started with. And he believing in the existence of Allah's that, his divine being. Naam, Allah's nafs, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said in another place, that a nafs, the meaning of a nafs, is a that. It's the same meaning. Allah's self, His person, His divine being, His essence. Naam, in the existence of Allah's divine being. Naam, that's one of the four essential matters of believing in Allah, Iman in Allah. And the other three are what? One person tell me, what are the other three? Naam, Sadiq.
His ownership.
His ownership.
Being the creator.
Okay. Tayyib. Okay, that covers it. But I mean, in the more technical language, as the Shaykh actually explained it, he mentioned believing in the existence, wujud, dhatillahi ta'ala, the existence of Allah's divine being, and the three aspects of tawheed that the scholars normally mention. Tawheed, he said tawheed al-ilahiyya. And we said that this is the same thing as what? Tawheed al-uluhiyya, or tawheed al-ubudiyya, or tawheed al-ibadah. That's one. And the other one, tawheed al-rububiyya, and tawheed al-asma wa sifat. So this is essential for us to keep in mind, in summary, that what the Shaykh is saying, what? That believing in Allah, Iman in Allah, requires these four essential matters. If any one of them is missing, then it's not Iman in Allah. Not the Iman that's accepted in Islam, that's accepted by the people of Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You have to believe in the existence of Allah, and that's not sufficient. But also, you have to what? Establish the tawheed of Allah's rububiyyah, and Allah's uluhiyyah, and Allah's asma wa sifat. Okay, so the Shaykh, he mentioned this in that particular question. And he mentioned some other things, but that's the essence of the issue. And that's the most important thing, that if you understand that, that these four essential matters have to be present. There's no escape from that. And we also said, and the Shaykh didn't mention it in the book, Hafiz al-Hakami, he didn't mention it in the book, but we said that some of the scholars said, like Shaykh al-Uthaymeen and his teacher, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, said it also includes that you have to accept the information, the knowledge that comes with believing in Allah, whatever Allah has informed us of through the revelation that He has sent. And also we have to what? Comply with the ahkam or the laws that Allah has legislated. It's not sufficient to say, I believe in Allah's rububiyyah and uluhiyyah and asma'u sifat. I believe in Allah's existence. Without accepting whatever Allah has revealed, believing in that, whatever He has revealed, of the unseen or otherwise, and then complying with what He has legislated. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said this in clear language. We didn't read the quotation for the sake of time, but he said this. If you go back to the explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah by Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, you'll find he said it there. And also if you read Shajaratul Iman by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, you'll find the beginning of the book in the definition of Iman, he mentions it in different language but the same meaning. That you also have to what? Comply with what Allah has legislated. Okay, second, the next question that came, it was question number 44. What is Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? Ma huwa Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? Naam. What is Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? Naam. Musa. Tawheed of worship. Naam.
To worship Allah alone.
To worship Allah alone.
Also to object that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah.
And to what?
To object anything that is.
Oh, to object, to reject that anything is worship besides Allah. Naam. Anybody want to say any, add to that anything? Naam.
To worship in all forms of inward worship and outward worship.
Naam. Whether inwardly or outwardly. Naam. What else? Speech or action. Naam. The most important thing here, though, what is al-ithbat and al-nafi, that there's affirmation or confirmation of the worship of all worship belonging to Allah alone, and the negation of any worship to anyone or anything other than Allah. This is the most. This is the essential essence of what the Shaykh said here. What is Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? He said it is to affirm, to confirm, to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every type of worship. Whether it is that which is done openly or that which is secretly, that which is seen or unseen, whether it's speech or action. And then, and we can't leave this important part out, what? And to negate every type of worship for anyone in anything other than Allah, no matter who it may be, whether prophets or angels or otherwise. This is the essence of what he said. This is the essence of what he said. And we could add to that from the definition of ibadah from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that he said that ibadah is a comprehensive expression or term, ism jamia, for everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, whether speech or action, done secretly or openly. Okay, so we should keep in mind what? Everything that Allah loves and is pleased with. كُلُّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَى. Whatever Allah loves and is pleased with. So worship is inclusive of everything, not only rituals, but everything that Allah loves and everything that Allah is pleased with. All of this is worship. And all of this belongs to Allah alone. Allah alone. And it has to be negated from everyone besides Him. And this is the essence of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. That there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped. La ma'abud bihaqtin illallah. Nothing has a right or deserves to be worshipped except Allah. So there's negation of worship for everything and everyone other than Allah. And then there's affirmation of worship for Allah alone. Illallah. This negation and affirmation is very, very important. And we'll see it again and again and again. We saw it in the ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned under this particular question. Question number 45, the next question, what is the opposite of Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? What is the opposite of Tawheed al-Ilahiyya? Naam. Musa. Naam. Shirk. He said the opposite of Tawheed al-Ilahiyya or Tawheed al-Uluhiyya is shirk. Somebody want to add to that? Siddiq?
Two types of
shirk. Naam.
Shirk
Alpha. Uh-huh. Asghar. Naam. So he said the opposite of what is shirk. And shirk is of two types. It's akbar and asghar. There's the greater shirk and there's the lesser shirk. Okay? And what about these two shirks? He said something about them. Like he distinguished between them. He gave some information about each of them so that we will know what's the difference between them. But what's the effect of them? How do they affect the person who commits any one of them? Very, very important. Huh? What takes you out of the deen? Okay, the major shirk, the greater shirk, shirk akbar, it negates, it nullifies iman, it nullifies the tawheed completely, totally. So that if a person falls into that, they fell out of Islam. If they die in that condition, they die as a kafir. Unless they repent sincerely. Allah accepts sincere repentance. This nullifies, negates a person's iman, nullifies their tawheed completely. This means this matter is extremely, extremely dangerous. A person can lose everything from this. This is why it's important to know what is this shirk, and especially what is shirk akbar. So they should be avoided at all costs. Because this, you lose everything with this. And what did he say about shirk asghar, Musa?
The minor shirk. I also referenced the the greater shirk. And Allah said in Surah Al-Nisa that he will forgive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ
نَعَمْ
وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا
نَعَمْ جَيِّد. But in reference to shirk akbar, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive that shirk is committed with him. That you associate something or make something as equal with him, or partner, or sharing in that which belongs to him exclusively. Allah will never forgive this. And he forgives anything that's less than that to whomever he wills. To whomever he wills. So this is very serious matter. Allah, if a person dies on this major shirk, Allah will never forgive it. Allah will never forgive it. But if a person commits major shirk, and Allah give them a chance to repent, and they repent sincerely, and Allah accepts sincere repentance. We don't say that Allah doesn't forgive major shirk if a person repents from it. But if a person dies without repenting, Allah will never forgive it. Naam. And as far as the minor shirk, somebody please, somebody else. What did he say about the minor shirk? If major shirk nullifies tawheed and iman completely, naam.
Negates the perfection of tawheed.
Negates the perfection. Kamal tawheed. It negates the perfection of tawheed. It doesn't nullify the tawheed completely. It doesn't nullify the person's iman completely, but it negates the perfection of it. It negates the perfection of it. So this is also very, very serious. And we said that some of the scholars said, the shirk asghar, the lesser shirk, is greater than major sins. Naam. It's greater than major sins. And some of the scholars said that Allah doesn't forgive shirk of any type. And there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Does he forgive minor shirk? Meaning if a person died on it, or he doesn't forgive it. And there's difference of opinion in Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. In some places he said that Allah doesn't forgive shirk at all, major or minor. And in other places he said he doesn't forgive major shirk. So there's some discussion here. But in any case, the point is what? That the matter is serious, it's severe. The person should be careful from this. Tayyib, the last question that we discussed last week, what is shirk akbar, the greater shirk? What is this shirk akbar? What is it? What is it? Naam. Ibrahim.
In worship, associating partners with Allah or worshiping other than Allah.
In worship, associating partners with Allah or worshiping other than Allah. Naam. What else? Ahmed.
Taking that thing and obeying it like you should obey Allah or...
Obeying someone or something in disobedience to Allah. In disobedience to Allah. That you obey someone in disobedience to Allah. And willingly, knowingly. Naam. Or, naam. Taib. Also, this is a part of, this is a type of shirk also in Asma wa Sifat, attributing the characteristics of Allah to other than Allah. But as far as what Shaykh Hakimi, rahimahullah, said in the answer to this question, he mentioned three points. We mentioned two of them, we left one out. Now, he said that it is when a person, major shirk is that when a person takes something as an equal or a partner with Allah, something less than Allah, other than Allah, is a partner equal with Allah, making them equal to the Lord of the worlds. Yani, loving them like you should love Allah, or fearing them like you should fear Allah, and so on. And then he said, or obeying that person in disobedience to Allah. And he said, third thing he said, following that person in that which is displeasing to Allah. Following that person in that which is displeasing to Allah. And Shaykh al-Islam, or the student of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah ibn Qayyim, he said that these are three aspects of major shirk. That is, in worship, giving worship to other than Allah, following someone in that which is displeasing to Allah, obeying someone in disobedience to Allah. in that which is disobedience to Allah. And this is the essence of what the Shaykh said here in this question. And he also mentioned that the people who commit this major shirk, that they are equal in going out of Islam. That is, those who openly do it, like the Quraysh, the mushrikeen of Quraysh, or those who don't do it openly, like who? The munafiqun. The people who openly show Islam, but they hide the kufr in their hearts. And they are equal in going out of Islam, except that, as he said in the end of it, that the munafiq is in a lower place in the hellfire than the rest of the kuffar. Right, this is the end of what we discussed, or the end of the questions that we discussed last week. And the last question that we took was 46, so today we start with question number 47. Allahumma sta'an. Naam. Question number 47, the Shaykh says, ما هو الشرك الأصغر? What is the lesser shirk? What is the lesser shirk? What is the lesser shirk? And before we read the answer the Shaykh gave, we want to say that he has given an answer that is based upon, yani is taken from a hadith, or is taken from some hadith. Okay? And in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has given us an example as a means of explaining what is this matter, what is this minor shirk, okay, or shirk asghar or shirk al-khafi in this particular case. He gave us an example. And so what I want to say is that the example that he's given us is the best example. No doubt, it came from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But we also want to say that the scholars have actually given definitions of a shirk al-asghar. And we also want to look at some of those definitions. So we'll see that the definitions give us the boundary lines of what is the shirk asghar. And the answer that the Shaykh gave give us an example of shirk asghar. So we see it in practice, what actually happens. Especially in that which is very common amongst the people, the Muslims, is very common amongst the people, and it's something easy to fall into and very, very dangerous. Okay, because it ruins a person's deed. That is ar-riya. So before reading the Shaykh's answer, I just want to say that some of the scholars, they have mentioned definitions of shirk asghar. And one of the definitions that I want to offer to you, and it's important that you try to concentrate so that you get the essence of the meaning of it. And I'm going to give you two definitions. Some of the scholars worded it differently, but the definitions that they gave basically came under two categories, for the most part. And there are some other definitions that we could also apply. Just try to keep it simple, we'll give these two. Okay, one of the definitions of shirk asghar is everything that has been prohibited in the Sharia. Everything that has been prohibited in the Sharia, from that which opens the way to major shirk. From that which opens the way to major shirk. And anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden in the authentic sunnah, those things which open the way to major shirk, this is one of the definitions that the scholars have given as what is the lesser shirk. It is the things that Allah has prohibited which open the way to major shirk. They lead to major shirk. These are the means that cause a person to fall into major shirk. And it has come in the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah that this thing has been called or named as shirk. Shirk. Yani, we will see in some of the definitions that the meaning of this is that there's something that has been identified by the label of shirk in the Quran or in the Sunnah. But it's not the major shirk that takes a person out of Islam, that nullifies their iman and their tawheed. But it has been called shirk. It's from those things that Allah has prohibited, and it leads to major shirk that takes a person out of Islam. But in the text of the Quran or in the Sunnah, it has been called shirk. So the scholars said that this is shirk, but it's not the shirk that takes a person out of Islam, so it's the lesser shirk, a shirk al-asghar. Meaning, a thing that has been called shirk, it's a prohibited matter. It doesn't nullify a person's Islam completely, but if a person engages in it, it will take you, lead you to the major shirk. This is minor shirk. This is one of the definitions. From amongst those who gave this definition is Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, where he said, أَمَّا الشِّرْكِ الْأَصْغَرَ فَهُوَ جَمِيعَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ الَّتِي تُوَصَّلُ بِهَا إِلَى الشِّرْكِ. Yani all types of speech and actions which lead a person, or the means that take a person to shirk, meaning major shirk, meaning major shirk. In another place he made it more clear where he said, حَدَّ الشِّرْكَ الْأَصْغَرَ هُوَ كُلُّ وَسِيلَ وَذَرِيَ يَتَتَرَّكُ مِنْهَا إِلَى الشِّرْكَ الْأَكْبَرَ مِنَ الْإِرَادَاتِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ الَّتِي لَمْ تَبْلِغُ rutbat al-ibadah. Yani, that the boundaries or the definition of shirk al-akbar is every wasila, every means, every dhariya, every opening that a person goes through it that takes them to major shirk. Everything what? That leads to major shirk from the intentions or speech or actions which have not reached the level of worship. Meaning it's something that it didn't reach the level of worship. Because if it reached the level of worship, then it will be major shirk. Because major shirk is what? Is when a person offers any act of worship to other than Allah. But when a person says something or does something or have an intention that doesn't amount to the level of worship, but it leads to major shirk, then he said this is minor shirk, yani the lesser shirk. Every means or every opening that leads to major shirk, whether it's from the intentions that's in the heart or the speech that's on the tongue or the actions of the limbs of the body, as long as that thing doesn't reach the level of ibadah, of worship. Because if it reaches the level of worship, then offering worship to other than Allah is major shirk. That takes a person out of Islam and nullifies their Islam completely. So the essence of this definition is what? That minor shirk is the opening or the means that lead to major shirk. The second definition is also has some various wordings, but the essence of it is the same. As Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim rahimahullah said, that Shaykh Asghar huwa ma ata fi nusus annahu shirk. Yani there are some textual proofs that mentions this thing as shirk. وَلَمْ يَصِلْ إِلَى حَدْ الشِّرْكَ الْأَكْبَرِ. But it didn't reach to the level of major shirk. Yani something that's identified is called shirk, but it didn't reach to major shirk, then this is minor shirk. Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah said, as far as minor shirk, فَهُوَ مَا ثَبَتَ بِالنُّسُوسِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ تَسْمِيَةً شِرْكًا وَلَكَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الشِّرْكَ الْأَكْبَرِ. That is, that minor shirk or the lesser shirk, it is whatever has been confirmed in the textual proofs from the Quran or from the Sunnah, that it has been named, it has been identified as shirk. However, in reality, it is not in the category of major shirk. Then this is minor shirk. It has been called shirk, but it doesn't reach to the level of major shirk, therefore it's minor shirk. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said that every action, whether speech, or kullu amal, yani every deed, qawli aw fi'li, whether it's by speech or by action, that the sharia has identified or described as shirk, لَكِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجْ أَوْ لَا يُخْرُجْ مِنَ الْمِلَّةِ. But it's not something that takes you completely out of Islam. Meaning here, the definition that he's given here is that whether speech or action, if it has been described as shirk, or it has been identified as shirk in the sharia, but it doesn't have the effect of taking a person completely out of Islam, then this is minor shirk. Okay, in any case, all of this is for what purpose? Is for us to have some idea how to distinguish between major shirk and minor shirk. There is such a thing as major shirk, and there is such a thing as minor shirk, and it's important for us to know the difference between them, because perhaps, a person might commit an act of shirk, something that is identified as shirk in the Quran or in the Sunnah, and we might imagine that it's major shirk and it's not. And even though the matter is severe and it's serious, and a person should be cautioned by all means from any type of shirk, whatever it may be, we should know that it is not our right, and we should be very, very careful. We should be careful to distinguish between those acts of shirk which are from the greater shirk and those acts of shirk which are from the lesser shirk. Because the greater shirk, it takes a person out of Islam. They're no longer a Muslim. And if they die in that condition, they'll be in hell forever. As far as the lesser shirk, it's severe. The matter is serious. It nullifies a person's deed, that particular deed, but it doesn't take them out of Islam. And this is something different. And we should know that there is a difference. And we should be careful that we don't, yani, recklessly consider something to be other than what it is. So we should know that there's two types of shirk. There's the greater shirk and there's the lesser shirk. And we should be careful to distinguish between them. And there are some further comments here, but for the sake of time, we will go on to what the Shaykh said in the book. So, the Shaykh, as I said, he gives us an answer to this question, what is the lesser shirk, shirk al-asghar? And as I said, he gives an answer that's based upon some hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And that definition is an example of a type of lesser shirk. And that type of lesser shirk is shirk al-khafi or al-riya. Yani showing off. Yani ostentation. When a person does something that should be for the sake of Allah. Yani something that you should do with the intention of earning the pleasure of Allah. But when they're doing it, either before they started or while they're doing it, or at some point, they actually, it enters into, al-riya enters their heart, and they actually have a hope or a desire that in doing what they are doing, that they will get the praise of the people. That somebody will praise them, will look up to them, will glorify them, will consider them to be whatever. What is الشرك الأصغر؟ هو يسير الرياء الداخل في تحسين العملي المراد به الله تعالى. That is, it is a little bit of رياء. Yani not that a person is always showing off in their worship. Yani trying to be seen by the people or heard by the people or praised by the people. Not all the time. But if a person did it sometimes. Yani yasir al-riya. Because if a person did it all the time, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said that without this qualification of yasir al-riya, then maybe a person does riya all the time. This is not minor shirk. Rather, this is minor shirk, what leads to major shirk? This may take a person out of Islam. Because it would nullify all of their deeds and there would be nothing left for them. So he said a little bit of riyah that is a part of or that is manifested in a person improving or beautifying their deed or their action or their worship. That act which the intention behind it should be to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person does a deed that should be done for the sake of Allah. And then they... Yani their intention is to do it for the sake of Allah, right? But they also have within their heart some desire to be seen by people so that people may perhaps praise them or think well of them because they see them improving their worship. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, that they might try to raise their hands when they're making takbir in a more perfect manner. Or maybe it's their recitation that they try to recite better. For what reason? They do this, they beautify their salat, so that someone may see them, and the person may praise them with their tongue, or they may exalt them in their heart. This desire that the people will praise them, or look up to them, this is shirk. A very dangerous matter. Extremely dangerous. How easy is it for a person to be doing something good for the sake of Allah? Their intention is for Allah. But when they know that people might come to know about it, or people might see them, or people might hear them, then they improve the act that they are doing, hoping to earn the praise of the people. And this is ar-riya. And there's detail concerning this, which we have discussed previously in some hadith from Bulugh al-Maram. We talked about in detail from Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen about the riyah that is from the beginning of the action, or the riyah that occurs during the action, the riyah that's repulsed or pushed away, or the riyah that a person allows to continue with them, and whether or not the deed is something that's continuous in one unit, or the deed is something that could be separated. We talked about the details of this previously, and we don't have the time now to talk about it, but and it is something that we should be aware of. That there is some tafsil, I mean there is some detailed discussion concerning ar-riya and whether or not it invalidates a person's deed absolutely in every situation or circumstance or not. So the Shaykh, he says here, what is it? Ash-shirk al-asghar, he said it is a little bit of riya that is manifested in a person's improving their deed, the deed that should be done for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 110th Ayat, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, yani the person who has in his heart a desire, yani a person who has in their heart a desire for the good meeting with their Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Meaning they have a desire that they will meet Allah in a good condition that will be pleasing to Him. The person who hopes that they will meet Allah in a good condition, that they will be in a condition that will be pleasing to their Lord. Whoever has this hope, then he must, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. then he must do good righteous deeds. Yani deeds that are in accordance with the Sharia, in accordance with the Sunnah. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And they must not associate anyone in the worship of their Lord. They must not associate anyone in the worship of their Lord. And these two points are the conditions or the shurut of the acceptance of deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person does something in the correct manner, in accordance with the sunnah. And that they do it purely for the sake of Allah alone. Yani if a person is missing any one of these conditions, then the deed would be rejected by Allah. If it's not done in accordance with the sunnah, it will be rejected. And even if it's done correctly, but it's not done purely for the sake of Allah alone, it will be rejected. So this ayah, it really includes, as the scholars of the sunnah say, it includes all types of shirk, whether the greater shirk or the lesser shirk. But here the shaykh is using it in reference to the discussion here, which is minor shirk. That a person does a deed, an act of worship for the sake of Allah, and then they associate someone, they make someone as a partner, or sharing in that which belongs to Allah alone, meaning that the deed should be done exclusively for Allah alone, and no one else sharing in that. And yet, the person who's doing a deed for the sake of Allah, and then they hope that somebody will see them, or that somebody will hear them, so that somebody will praise them. This means they have made someone as a partner with Allah, and that which is His exclusive right, that no one else has a right to share in. So he mentioned this ayat to show what? That shirk. That it's not permissible for a person to associate anyone or anything in the worship of his Lord. And then he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that supported this narration of the hadith. I think it's in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Naam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكَ الْأَصْغَرُ. That the thing that I fear most for you is the lesser shirk. The lesser shirk. The thing that I fear most for you is the lesser shirk. This is addressed to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. It's addressed to the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. This is not addressed to the rest of the people. Because the rest of the people are engaged in major shirk. But the Muslims, the people who follow the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, whoever adheres to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, who sticks to this deen, the pure Islam, then the Prophet ﷺ didn't fear that these people will fall into the major shirk. But rather he feared the minor shirk. That how is it possible that a person will engage in major shirk? How is it possible that a person will bow down to an idol or engage in some kind of major shirk? Knowingly, openly, willingly. That's not possible. May Allah protect us from that. But it is any possible that a person might fall into the lesser shirk. In another hadith that's reported by Ibn Majah, it's reported, or in one of the other narrations, the Prophet ﷺ is reported said, shall I not inform you of that which I fear, that which is feared most, yani that which I fear most for you, more than al-Masih al-Dajjal. They said, yes, inform us. The Prophet ﷺ said, الشرك الخفي. الشرك الخفي. يعني the hidden shirk, or the shirk that is khafi, it's not easily detectable. It's not so visible. It's not something that you see easily. It's khafi. It's like, you know, not clear. Person might not, won't recognize it. They won't see it. As Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz said, it's because, or one of the reasons why it's called Shirk al-Khafi, because it's in the heart. And that which is in the heart is only seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's khafi, it's hidden from the people. It's not seen by the people. And this narration, the Shaykh refers to here when he says, فَسُعِلَ عَنْهُ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ was asked about this thing that he feared most for the people, and he said, الرِّيَا. That the thing that he feared most for the people was الرِّيَا. Yani Shirk al-Khafi. And from the Shirk al-Khafi, the most obvious of it, or the most well-known of, or the most widespread of it, is ar-riya, ostentation, showing off. And then he explained it by saying, يَكُومُ الرَّجُلُ فَيُصَلِّ فَيُزَيِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِن نَظَرْ رَجُلٍ إِلَيْهِ. Yani that a person stands up to perform salat, and then he beautifies his salat, because he sees another person looking at him. He realizes that somebody's looking, so he beautifies his salat. And that could be sadaqah, could be salat, could be Yani siyam, it could be hajj, it could be whatever a person is doing. They try to make it look better. They try to make themselves look better during this act of worship that should be done purely for the sake of Allah alone. So the Prophet ﷺ gave this example of ar-riya. What is it? The example of it is the person is praying and he beautifies his salat when he sees someone or he comes to know that someone is looking at him. And this is one example of shirk al-khafi. And shirk al-khafi, it comes under the title, mostly, more than anything else, under the lesser shirk, shirk al-asghar. And then the shaykh goes on to give other examples. And from amongst the examples that he has given, he said, وَمِن ذَلِكَ الْحَلْفُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Yani, from the lesser shirk, is that a person swears by other than Allah. Like the person who swears by their fathers or their ancestors, or the one who swears by the andad, yani those who have been set up as equals or partners with Allah, or the person who swears by the Kaaba, or swears by al-amana, the trust, or other than that. Yani swearing by other than Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Nasa'i and the Sunan of Abu Dawood, لَا تَحْلِفُوا بِآبَائِكُمْ وَلَا بِأُمَّهَاتِكُمْ وَلَا بِالْأَنْدَادِ. And the Shaykh stops here with this part of the hadith, that do not swear by your ancestors, your forefathers, nor by your mothers or by the andad, those who have been set up as equals besides Allah. And the rest of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا تَحْلِفُوا إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَحْلِفُوا إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ صَادِقُونَ. And don't swear except by Allah. And don't swear by your fathers or your mothers, or don't swear by anything other than Allah. Rather, don't swear by anything except Allah, and don't swear except that when you swear by Allah, that you are truthful in what you are swearing about. Yani, don't take the name of Allah lightly. And also, the Shaykh mentions the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the Sunan of Nasa'i and the Muslim of Imam Ahmed. وَلَا تَقُولُوا وَالْكَعْبَ وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَ. And do not say, I swear by the Kaaba, but rather say, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. And these hadith and this kind of speech, yani swearing by other than Allah, all of it, yani is a reminder to us, even though we might not find amongst us people swearing by the Kaaba, but whatever people are swearing by, whatever the people are swearing by today, especially the young people, but not only the young people, they're swearing by all kinds of things. I don't know what they're swearing by today. But maybe the young people can help us. What are they swearing by today? Swear by something. I heard people say that stuff, but I don't remember now what they said. Swear by their mother? Naam. So okay, they're swearing by their mother. And they're swearing by
everything I love.
That's what I remember hearing. I swear by everything I love. I swear by whatever. Okay? All of this, swearing by other than Allah, it is haram. The Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, also reported in the Sunan of Nasa'i, in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, لَا تَحْلِفُوا إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Don't swear except by Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, مَنْ حَلَفَ بِالْأَمَانَةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whoever swears by the trust that he is not from us. And he said in another hadith, and that hadith is reported in Abu Dawud and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ أَشْرَكَ. And in one narration he said, وَأَشْرَكَ. Yani that whoever swears by other than Allah, then he has fallen into disbelief or shirk. And in a different narration, it says he has fallen into disbelief and shirk. Yani both kufr and shirk. Whoever swears by other than Allah. I mean, the matter is very serious. It's very, very serious. And this discussion is under what? Shirk asghar. And this comes under shirk asghar, by the way, brothers and sisters. It comes under the title of shirk asghar. When a person is swearing by other than Allah, not having in their heart a belief that the thing that they are swearing by is equal to Allah. Because if a person swears by other than Allah, believing that what they are swearing by is equal to Allah, this is not minor shirk. This is major shirk. Okay, so we are talking here, we're under the subject of minor shirk. But keeping in mind, person swearing by other than Allah, meaning it's just something on their tongue that they just say. You know, like we hear a lot of, in the Muslim land especially, Wallahi, 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 on every point, everything, every other sentence, Wallahi. Okay? So people sometimes say things without really thinking about what they're saying. But maybe the person who's saying that, he's just using the name of Allah lightly, which is unacceptable. But other people are saying, I swear by my mother, and I swear by my father, I swear by everything I love, or whatever they're saying. And this, they're just saying it, not really meaning that that which they're swearing by is equal to Allah. This is shirk, it's minor shirk, and it's severe, it's very serious. But if they actually imagine that the thing that they are swearing by is equal to Allah, that's not minor shirk. Because that means they are putting that person on a level that's equal to Allah. Or that thing that they are swearing by on a level that's equal to Allah. And this is major shirk. And then the Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, after this, he gives another example, okay, other than swearing by other than Allah, also from minor shirk, in speech. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ The saying, it is the will of Allah and your will. It is the will of Allah and your will. This type of speech, making some the will of Allah on the same level with the will of a human being, for someone to say that this is also shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ said to the person who said that to him, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ Man said to the Prophet ﷺ, it is your will, it is the will of Allah and your will. And the Prophet ﷺ said to that man, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا Have you made me as an equal or a partner with Allah? Have you made me as something equal to Allah? بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ Rather, you must say, it is the will of Allah alone. Because it's Allah's will that's executed. It's Allah's will that is supreme. But as far as anybody else, their will doesn't have any power. It's only what Allah wills. And everybody else's will is secondary, subsidiary, subject to, following the will of Allah. Whatever Allah wills will be. And whatever Allah doesn't will will never be. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ And if Allah wills something, it will be. It will happen. That's a fact. And if Allah didn't will it, it can never happen. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, rather you should say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَ It is Allah's will, alone. And also, from this minor shirk in speech, وَمِنْهُ قَوْلْ لَوْ لَا اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ If it wasn't for Allah and you. If it wasn't for Allah and you, this wouldn't have happened. Or if it wasn't for Allah and you, I wouldn't have got something. I wouldn't have been successful. I wouldn't have achieved. I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have been able to survive. If it wasn't for Allah and you. Yani making you, that person, equal to Allah. That you and Allah made me do this together. Allahumma musta'an. وَمَا لِي إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ And I have no one except Allah and you. And he's saying to somebody that I have no one except Allah and you. A'udhu billah. You equal to Allah? وَأَنَا دَاخِلٌ عَلَى اللَّهُ وَعَلَيْكَ And the meaning of this, دَاخِلٌ عَلَى اللَّهُ وَعَلَيْكَ Some of the scholars of the Sunnah said, الْاِعْتِمَادِ وَالْإِلْتِجَاءِ That a person saying is saying what? أَنَا دَاخِلٌ عَلَى اللَّهُ وَعَلَيْكَ That I am putting my trust on Allah and you. I am depending upon Allah and you. I am relying upon Allah and you. When in reality, you can rely upon Allah alone. But not rely upon Allah and someone else as though they are equal to Allah. And similar sayings to this. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تقولوا ما شاء الله وشاء فلان. Don't say it is the will of Allah and the will of so and so. ولكن قولوا ما شاء الله ثم شاء فلان. But rather say it is the will of Allah and then after that, yani secondarily, subject to Allah's will, the will of so and so. And this hadith is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Musnad of Ad-Darimi and others. And then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, the scholars, the people of knowledge, the Ahlul Ilm, they said it is permissible to say, لَوْ لَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ فُلَانٌ That is permissible to say if it wasn't for Allah and then, any secondary, as a second thought, so and so. But it's not permissible to say, لَوْ لَا اللَّهُ وَفُلَانٌ That if it wasn't for Allah, and so-and-so. And the Shaykh explains this in the following question, where he says, and by the way, I'll say here before going to the next question, that there are other types of minor shirk, many other types of minor shirk, other than what the Shaykh has mentioned here, meaning other than riyah, and other than swearing by other than Allah, and other than these types of sayings, that where somebody is coupling someone as an equal or partner with Allah, there are other types of minor shirk, and you can find them in the books of the scholars dealing with Tawheed, and especially Kitab al-Tawheed by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. He has brought a lot of matters related to a shirk in all of its types, major and minor, and a lot of different other examples, chapters dealing with every one of them. The Shaykh says, what is the difference between this? The scholar is saying that it's permissible to say, if it wasn't for Allah and then so and so, but it's not permissible to say, if it wasn't for Allah and so and so. What is the difference between the wow, which is a conjunction joining two things as though they're equal, and thumma, which shows that something is following, coming after, is subject to, and dependent upon, and not independent of or equal to that which is before it. What is the difference between these two expressions? Yani otherwise, the sentence is the same, except in one sentence the person is saying, لَوْ لَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ فُلَانَ. The other one is saying, لَوْ لَا اللَّهُ وَفُلَانَ. What's the difference between this ثُمَّ and wow? The Shaykh says, the conjunction, when a person makes a conjunction between two things, Allah and so-and-so, by using wow, the conjunction wow, this necessitates al-muqarana wa taswiya. Yani that these two things, you are comparing two things, making them equal as though they go hand in hand. These two things go together equally. When you say this and that, Allah and so-and-so, this is muqarana and it is taswiya, meaning you're making them equal. So in this case, the person who says, MashaAllah, wa shi'ta, it is the will of Allah and your will. This person has made a comparison between the will of Allah and the will of this person. The will of an abd, a created being, a slave of Allah. They have made a comparison between the will of the slave and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, musawwiyan biha, making them equal, as though they are equal to one another. As opposed to the atif, when a person makes a conjunction or join between two things with thumma, which indicates taba'iyya. Taba'iyya means that yani something is following something else. Taba, yani coming behind it, following it, subject to it, not independent of it, rather is subject to it. So whoever says, MashaAllah, thumma shi'ta, yani it is the will of Allah, and then after that, your will comes into play, then this person has made a comparison between the will of the abd, but that will is subject to and following the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will of the created being doesn't have any effect except that it is subject to the will of Allah. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Insan, 76 Surah, 30th Ayat, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And you will not will, meaning the people, the created beings, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, none of you, all of you, you will not will, your will not have any effect, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ, except that Allah wills first, because everything is subject to Allah's will. And indeed, Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. And similarly, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Taqwir, 81st, Surah 29th Ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that it is no more, this is no more than a reminder for all the worlds. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَن يَسْتَقِيمُ. For whoever, whichever one amongst you, yani, intends to be upright. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you will not will, except that Allah, the Lord of the worlds, wills. And this is a proof that if a person wants to do good, Allah has called us to do good, and He has guided us to the ways of good. But everything is still subject to the will of Allah. And nobody is independent in doing anything except that it's subject to the will of Allah. And for that reason, if a person uses the will that Allah has given them and the ability to execute their will, to do good, the credit still goes back to Allah. Because our will is subject to the will of Allah. And we don't have any will except that Allah has given us a will. And we don't have any power or ability to execute our will except that Allah has given us the power and ability to execute our will. So all the praise goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also brings up the subject which we will not talk about tonight, but the subject of the belief in qadr and qadha. And that one of the aspects of the correct iman in qadr is that the human being does have a will, but it's not absolute free will. Rather, the will is subject to the will of Allah. And this is something that all of us, yani, we must understand well. If a person wants to have some yani, contentment and peace and tranquility in this life, you must understand this issue of the qadr and qadha, that everything is subject to the will of Allah, and yet a person is still having some limited free will due to which they are responsible for their actions. But yet, a person has comfort in knowing that nothing happens unless Allah has decreed it. And the one who has decreed it is our Rabb, who loves us more than we love our own selves. And, okay, so the Shaykh now he goes on to talk about Ar-Rububiyya. Yani, the second of the three types or divisions of Tawheed that he mentioned under the question of Iman in Allah. He said believing in the existence of Allah, and then he mentioned the three types of Tawheed. And he talked about Tawheed al-Ilahiyya or Uluhiyya. And now he's talking about Tawheed al-Rububiyya, and after that, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. And let me see at the time. Naam, Tayyib. The Shaykh, he really gives a lot of ayats here, and it is whoever has a desire to appreciate what he has written here, has to go back and read the tafsir of these ayats. You have to go back and read the tafsir of these ayats. And I know some people are not going to go back and read the tafsir of these ayats, but in any case, I'm going to free myself of blame. I have encouraged you to go back and read the tafsir of these ayats. And if you read them, you will benefit greatly. And if you don't, then you will get whatever you have gotten. The Shaykh says, مَا هُوَ التَّوْهِيدُ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. What is the Tawheed of Rububiyya? And again, we're going to see al-ithbat and al-nafi. Yani the confirmation and the negation. Yani the confirmation of what belongs to Allah and the negation of it from other than Allah. The Shaykh says, what is al-tawheed al-rububiyya? Huwa al-ifrad al-jazim bi-anna Allah ta'ala rabbu kulli shay'in wa malikuhu wa khaliquhu wa mudabbiruhu wa mutasarrifuhu wal-mutasarrifu fihi lam yakun lahu sharik في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل ولا راد لأمره ولا معقب لحكمه ولا مضاد له ولا مماثل له ولا سمي له ولا منازع في شيء من معاني ربوبيته ومقتضيات أسمائه وصفاته. يعني this statement that the Shaykh has made here, the essence of it is yani that Tawheed al-Rububiyya, it is al-Iqrar al-Jazim. And we could say al-Itiraf or al-Tasdiq, and that these should go together, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, that we shouldn't just say al-Tasdiq or just al-Iqrar, but rather we should say it is al-Tasdiq, yani the confirmation of the truthfulness of something, and al-Iqrar and al-Itiraf, the confirmation, the affirmation, the acknowledgement, the confession. Al-jazim, yani firm, resolute acknowledgement and confession that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of everything. He is the Rabb. And He is the owner of everything, the Malik. And He is the Khaliq, the creator of everything. Meaning there is nothing that exists, not the creatures, nor their actions, nor their descriptions, except that Allah is the creator of everything. Of everything. He is the only creator. He is khaliquhu, of everything. And He is mudabbir, the one who plans and organizes and arrange everything. Wal mutasarrif, and the one who does whatever He wills, who has free, independent, absolute disposal of everything in the universe, to do as He wills. And there is no one who shares with Him in His mulk, and in His kingdom, in His sovereignty. And there is no one, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلُّ. And he doesn't have any wali, any helper or supporter due to having any need. Yani Allah doesn't have any need to have a helper or he doesn't have any weakness due to which he needs someone to help him or to support him. And there is no one who can defy or who can reject what he has commanded. And there is no one who can come behind his decision or his judgment and rectify it or criticize it or examine or modify it. And there is no one who can oppose him, and there is no one who is similar to him, and there is no one who shares in his name. La samiya lahu. And the meaning of this, if we look in the Quran, in the tafsir of the Quran, we will see that as-sami here, the literal meaning of it is no one shares with Allah in his name. Yani there's no one whose name is Allah. And if anyone named themselves Allah, still they will not be entitled to the meaning of what that name entails. Allah alone has this right. And some of the scholars said, Sami'u here means shabih or mathil, that there's no one like or similar or equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no one who can contest or contend or challenge him in anything of the ma'ani of rububiyyah, the meanings or the aspects of rububiyyah, of his rububiyyah, his lordship. Nor in the things that are necessitated, those things which are necessitated by his names and his characteristics, his asma and sifat. So the Shaykh has given a long, lengthy answer here. The essence of it is what? Is that a person has a firm conviction, acknowledgement, confession, yani testifying to the truthfulness of the fact, firmly, with firm resolve, of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of everything, the Rabb of everything, the one who owns everything, creator of everything, who reigns and plans and controls and does whatever he wills in everything in the universe. And he doesn't have any partner in this, nor any helper, and no one can oppose him or challenge him or come behind him, and there's no one similar to him or that can contest him in any of these things that are part of his rububiyyah, that belong to him exclusively. And the main aspects of rububiyyah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq. He created everything. And therefore, He is the Malik, the one who owns everything. He created it, so He owns it. And because He is the creator and the owner, He is the one that does in His creation whatever He wills. And He is the one who provides for His creatures. And He is the one who gives life and causes death and so on. But the main aspects of it is what? That He is the creator. And He is the owner. And He is the controller, who does whatever He wills amongst with His creatures in His creation. And this is the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, to single out Allah alone for all of these meanings. And then the Shaykh mentions innumerable ayats. And some of these ayats really have some tafsir that is of the utmost importance. But yani we cannot touch them. So it is upon you to take some time out, sacrifice some time and do it yourself. The first ayah that the Shaykh mentions, and keep in mind, these ayats are what? Ayats that what we want to take from these ayats is the establishment of Tawheed or Rububiyyah for Allah alone. The Tawheed of Rububiyyah. That Allah is the creator, the owner, the controller and so on. This is what we want to take from these ayats. All of this is in the Quran, and we have read it how many times? And we have seen these ayats, but now we want to look at them in light of Tawheed or Rububiyyah. A lot of times we read the Quran and we don't really have any focus on what we're reading. We're just reading. And we're not taking these ayats and applying them to something specific. And therefore we lose a lot. So now we're reading these ayats in light of what? Tawheed or Rububiyyah. That Allah is the only Rabb. And these ayats all confirm this in all aspects of Rububiyyah. What do we mean by He's the Rabb? Do we mean He's the Lord? No, we mean more than that. He is the Rabb. He's the creator. He is the owner, He is the provider, He is the one who gives life and death, the controller, the one who manages and arranges all affairs. This is what we mean by the Rabb. So he begins with Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 1st Ayat. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur, thumma alladhina kafaru bi rabbihim ya'dilun. That the praise belongs to Allah. Why does the praise belong to Allah? Because He is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and He is the one who has made the darknesses and the light. And then those who disbelieve hold others as equal with their Lord. Even though what? He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. Nobody had any part in this creation. And yet those who disbelieve, they make something as equal with Him. The Shaykh said, and the ayat. And the reason why he said, well, ayat, Because he mentioned this ayah, the first ayah of Surah Al-An'am. But if you read the next few ayahs, you will see it goes on the same meanings that he mentioned in this ayah. But for the sake of brevity, he just mentioned one ayah. He said, بَلْ السُّورَ كُلُّهَا. Rather, the whole Surah Al-An'am, wallahi, if you read it from beginning to the end, up until the end of it, he keeps talking about the same thing. All different aspects of Allah's rububiyyah. And I wish that we had time just to read the last few ayahs, but we don't even have time for that. Just the last few ayahs of this surah. Go from the beginning to end, you'll keep seeing it. Every few ayahs come back to the same theme over and over and over again. And reading what the Shaykh said here is the first time that I ever realized that this surah talks about this from beginning to end. When I read the Shaykh saying it, it was the first time I ever realized that. Now, so I'm saying to you, go back and read it. When you go back and read it, you're going to see it. Subhanallah. This is the benefit of the scholars. They tell us what we don't know, and what we might never know if we didn't learn from scholars. Then he mentions the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise belongs to Allah. Why? Because He is the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of everything that exists. And then he mentions from Surah Ra'ad, Naam, 13th Surah, 16th Ayah. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Say, who is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth? Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, say, who is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth? قُلِ اللَّهِ. Say, it is Allah. He is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth. قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. So, if you know that, then do you then take as awliya others, other than Allah? Do you take then something as a wali other than Allah? Awliya la yamlikuna li anfusihim naf'an wala darra. Those who they don't possess for themselves any benefit or harm. They cannot benefit their own self, nor can they harm. They cannot do anything. So you take them as awliya min dunillah other than Allah? Qul hal yastawi al-a'ma wal basir. This is another question. All this related to what? Rububiyyah. Listen to this. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْعَامَى وَالْبَصِيرِ. Are those who, the one who is blind and the one who is seeing equal? Is the one who is blind and the one seeing equal? Look at look, this language. This is the Quran. This is the speech of Allah. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْعَامَى وَالْبَصِيرِ. Couple of words. Small sentence. And look at the meaning of it. Every person, even a child, maybe 2 or 3 years old, if you ask them, is the one who's blind and the one seeing, are they equal? They will say no. Everybody knows the one who's blind and the one who's seeing is not equal. The Rabb who created everything and the thing that is created, are they equal? How can they be equal? أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ. Is the darknesses and the light equal? Darkness and light, is it equal? أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا خَقَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Or, have they made for Allah partners who share with Him, who you have made them sharing in that which belongs exclusively to Him? Those which you have made partners with Allah, they have created something that's like His creation. Such that their creation and Allah's creation is so similar you can't distinguish between them? Is that possible? That there's something that created something that's like Allah's creation and is so similar that you can't distinguish between them? Any, what creature can make anything that's like what Allah has created? That's impossible. So how can you worship something other than Allah? قُلِ اللَّهِ خَالِقُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. Say, Allah is the creator of everything. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارُ. And He is the one who is one, alone, unique, الْقَحَّارُ. The one who conquers everything, who's irresistible. Ayat, the Shaykh says. And go on with the rest of the ayat. And then he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Rum, 30th Surah, 40th ayat, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Like I said, these ayats, all they require some, yani we need to read the tafsir. Allah is the one who created you. Then He provided for you. He created you and He didn't leave you on your own. Then He provided for you. Whatever we need in this world, Allah has already provided it for us. Everything is here. The human being didn't have to bring anything on this earth. Rather, Allah has put everything there that human being is in need of. He created you. You are His creature, so He has provided for you. He didn't leave His creatures without what they are in need of. No creature is without what they are in need of. Allah has put everything here sufficient for His creatures. He created you. Then He provided for you. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ Then He caused you to die. ثُمَّ يُحِيكُمْ Then He will resurrect you back to life, يوم القيامة. And here, right, if we think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, Allah is telling us that He created us, He provided for us, and He took us out of here, and He will bring us back. So if you know that, you are responsible. You are responsible to worship Him alone. You will be resurrected. You will be called to account. هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ So is there any of those who you have made as partners with Allah, any of them can do anything of this? Any of it that has been mentioned here? Creating, providing, giving life, resurrecting? Is there any of those who they are worshipping besides Allah that can do any of this? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Allah is free. And most high, high above that which they associate as partners with Him. Then the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Luqman 31:11. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ This is the creation of Allah. Everything that you see in this universe. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ So show me that which those whom you are calling upon or that you are worshipping or you send them as partners with Allah. Show me that which they have created. Those who you are worshipping besides Allah. What have they created? Indeed, the ظَالِمُونَ Allah says in the end of this ayat, بَلَ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ But the ظَالِمُونَ, they are in clear misguidance. Who are the ظَالِمُونَ? Most of the time, ظَالِمُونَ in the Quran, we say what? Means what? مُشْرِكُونَ Again and again and again. Just keep looking. When you see ظَالِمُونَ, مُشْرِكُونَ Most of the time, the Quran says ظَالِمُونَ means مُشْرِكُونَ The ظَالِمُونَ here, they are the مُشْرِكُونَ In the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Tur, and this ayah definitely you have to read the tafsir, is one of the most profound ayats in the Qur'an. And as some scholars say, it's the only ayah in the Qur'an that Allah addressed to the people who don't believe in the existence of a God. Yani Allah addressed all ayats in the Qur'an, the mushrikun, kuffar. But the people who don't believe in anything, they don't believe that there's no God. They claim. Of course, nobody really... Some people say that. They don't believe that there's a God. So Allah gave them an ayat also. Silence them with one ayat in the Qur'an. Surah Al-Tur, 52nd Surah, 35th, 36th ayat. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ Are they created by nothing? أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ Were they created from nothing? Meaning they didn't exist, then they were created from nothing. Nothing created them? أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ Or if nothing, if it wasn't nothing that created them, then maybe they created themselves. And they didn't exist and they created themselves. If they don't believe there's a creator, right? Then either nothing created them, or they created their own selves. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Indeed. Bel, la yuqinun. They have no certainty. Rather, they are deluded. Ayat, the Shaykh says. Ayat. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam. Also one of the beautiful ayahs in the Quran, it talks about all the aspects of Tawheed. رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنُهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا He is the Rabb, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them. Therefore worship Him. Why worship Him? Because He's the only Rabb. And this is one of the arguments of the people of Sunnah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran uses the argument of Rububiyyah against the people who acknowledge that Allah is the Rabb, but they don't want to worship Him alone. That if He's the only Rabb, then He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. And Allah uses throughout the Quran again and again and again and again and again. And He used it in brief, that He is the Rabb of the samawati wal ard, the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them. Therefore, worship Him, and be constant and patient in His worship. Do you know, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا That there is anyone who has His name, meaning that is equal to Him, that is entitled to be called by His name. And this ayah, the scholars of Sunnah say, that it indicates Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, He is the Rabb of the heavens and earth. And it also indicates Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, fa'budhu. So worship Him, Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. And it also mentions Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, hal ta'alamu lahu samiyan. That no one has the names that that He is entitled to alone. And the saying of Allah in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing that is equal to Him. And He is the Sami', the one who hears everything, al-Basir, the one who sees everything. Naam. And then He says in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 111th Ayat, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Say, the praise belongs to Allah. الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. He has not taken a son, or a child, or offspring. He doesn't have any need for such. And that refutes the Christians clearly. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. And he doesn't have any partner that shares with him anything in this creation. And that is for the general mushrikeen, all of them, who said that Allah has some partner. They worship something along with Him. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلِّ. Yani, from it would be humiliating for Allah. It would show that Allah has some weakness or some defect or some shortcoming or some need if He was to take a wali, a helper or a supporter. Allah doesn't have any need for such. فَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. So glorify Allah, declare His greatness and His magnificence in the way that He is deserving. And the saying of Allah in Surah, and perhaps this is the last ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, Surah Sabah, 34th Surah, 22nd and 23rd Ayat, and this is where we're going to stop. قُلْ عِدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ عَذِنَ لَهُ. Until the end of the ayat. And the meaning of this ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the command, say, أُدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ, call upon those, yani who you claim are equal or partners with Allah, those other than Allah who you set up as partners with Him, those who لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, they do not possess, they do not own or control even the weight of a dharra, of an atom or a small ant. Atom's weight of anything in the heavens nor in the earth. They don't control any of it. They don't own any of it. Nor do they have any share in it. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. Yani they don't own anything, nor do they have any share in anything. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. Nor does Allah Himself, nor has He taken from them anyone as a helper or a supporter. وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ. And there's no intercession that will benefit in front of Allah, إِلَّا لِمَنْ عَذِنَ لَهُ, except to the one that Allah has given permission to. Meaning, those who Allah has allowed, from amongst the prophets, or the angels, or the righteous, or the martyrs, to intercede. And they can only intercede for the people of At-Tawheed. And all of these ayats show, yani, the rububiyyah of Allah and the greatness of Allah, and that He alone owns and controls everything in the existence, in the heavens, in the earth, in the universe. Everything is His creation, everything belongs to Him, everything is under His control. And whoever knows this, then they should know that every act of worship belongs to Him alone. And inshallah, next week we will talk about the opposite of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Is there any question about what we discussed this evening? Does anybody remember the ayah in Surah Maryam? I didn't say it? Okay. Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th ayah. 1965. Hopefully the young people will memorize these ayahs. And the old people will try. Now, Abdul Karim.
That,
yeah. The Arabic word that?
Yeah,
that is an Arabic word that some people, you know, may have trouble with. That it means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Allah, His self, His nafs, His being. Okay? Allah exists. He's divine being. He's the divine being, right? So the divine being has some characteristics that He's described with. And He has names that He is named with, right? So the that is Allah Himself. And the descriptions of Allah that that He had described Himself with, or the names of Allah that He has named Himself with, or that the Prophet ﷺ have named or described Him with, are names that He's named by or called by, and those descriptions are descriptions that He's described by. But His self, His essence, the reality, the existence of Allah is His that. It's His nafs. Like if somebody asks you, are you coming yourself? Yourself. Means, are you coming? You. Your being. You coming in person. Huh? You're a human being. He's a divine being. Allah is a divine being. Okay, so we mean by that, we mean nafs. We mean His being, His divine being. That is described as with different descriptions. That He is mighty, that He is powerful, that He is wise, that He is all-knowing. But Allah's divine being has descriptions that He has described Himself with. And He has names that He has named Himself with. And what we mean by that, we mean His self. Allah's self. Naam. His self. Naam. I think the brother had his hand here. I don't know your name, Akhi.
Ali.
Ali? Naam. Somebody, they used something on their body as a protection,
yes.
And they said, I didn't get shot because this thing is protecting me. this is, what do they call this? Huh? Oh yeah, talisman, yeah, naam. This is, it depends. Okay, it is certainly a type of shirk. Okay, it's called tamima in Arabic. Tamima. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab discussed it in detail, a chapter dealing with this in Kitab al-Tawheed. He talks about it in detail, and if you read any explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, you'll find the discussion concerning it. The tamima, the person wearing the tamima, this is minor shirk. Yani it's one of those things that's prohibited. Allah has prohibited it. It's haram. And it leads to major shirk. How does it lead to major shirk? That perhaps a person will begin to believe that thing that they are wearing actually can protect him, independent of Allah. In that case, when the person believes that, then he has fallen into major shirk. But if the person believes that this is a means of protection, like a person wears a bulletproof vest, that's a means of protection. But if Allah wills, it won't do anything for him. Okay? But it's a means. But it's an illegal means. That wearing that thing is illegal. But there are legal means that a person can use to protect yourself. There are things that are lawful to use to protect yourself. The Prophet ﷺ wore armor in the battle. And he wore a helmet in the battle. Those are lawful means of protection. But he wore that only as a means that this can help him to get some protection. But he didn't believe that the helmet or the armor is his protection. Rather, Allah is his protection. So the person who used that thing as a means, if it's a lawful means, there's no blame on them. But if it's an unlawful means that Allah has not legislated, and that tamima is an unlawful, illegal, haram means that Allah has not legislated, therefore it's minor shirk. If a person just thinks it's a means, that this can help by the permission of Allah. But if they think that thing, independent of Allah, by itself, it has some power to protect them, aside from Allah, then that's major shirk. Because now they have made that thing, they put that thing in the place that belongs to Allah. Allah is the only one who can bring good and repulse harm. Only Allah. So whoever believes that thing by itself can protect them, then this is major shirk. But if they are just using it as a means, it is an illegal means. It's unlawful. It's not legislated. Allah has prohibited it. So that means it's sinful. And it's minor shirk because it may what? Lead to major shirk. If the person begins to believe that thing by itself is really protecting him. And not that it has some, Allah has made it as some kind of power. Allah has not made it as a power, but they have been told that. So maybe a person believes that, that Allah has made this as some kind of power to protect me. Allah has made it as a protection. If they believe that, they are wrong. But that's minor shirk. But if they believe that that thing protects them independent of itself, then they have fallen into major shirk.
Because there is some people, they put like, you know, they write the name of Allah, and they do it in their body, and sometimes they enter the bathroom with this thing, and it has Allah's name.
Yeah, they write something on it, and they shouldn't go in the bathroom with Allah's name, and they shouldn't wear it anyway, because it's really haram. The sisters have a question, is it permissible to say, wa hayat Allah? Or is it hayak Allah? I've heard this statement used many times before. Native Arabic speaking. Yeah, hayat Allah is not hayat, hayak Allah. Hayak Allah. by the life of Allah as a way of swearing or anything else in reference to Allah. Or for example, I swear by the hand of Allah, I swear by Allah. Anyway, I think perhaps the question hayat Allah is not really hayat Allah. Arabs, some of the Arabic people, they say hayak Allah. As a greeting, as a type of greeting. Hayak Allah. It's not swearing by Allah. It's not swearing by Allah. But the question, yes.
There is some, I mean, not in all Arab countries, but there's some people that say that.
Hayat Allah?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that one then. Okay, so there's an oath that they are using?
Yeah, it's a swear.
It's a swearing? Okay, so then, okay, so it's they're using it as an oath. And that's what the question is about.
Yeah.
As a way of swearing or anything else in reference to Allah, for example, I swear by the hand of Allah, I swear by Allah's majesty. That's okay, yeah. Well, I mean, probably, I don't remember ever hearing it.
Yeah.
I was there for a little while, for 1 year, 1 week, but I don't remember hearing that one. In any case, you know, swearing, it's only permissible to swear by Allah. It's only permissible to swear by Allah. It's not permissible to swear by other than Allah. So if a person wants to swear, they should swear by Allah. As we read in the hadith, that the Prophet said, swear by Allah, and swear, don't swear by other than Allah. And when you swear, be truthful. So a person, if you swear, you should swear by Allah, and you shouldn't swear by other than Allah. And I don't really know the saying, Hayat Allah. I don't know. I mean, what do they mean by it? They're swearing by the life of Allah?
Yeah.
Naam?
Hayat
Allah. Hayat Allah, huh? Yeah, I didn't know it. But in any case, swearing should be by Allah. We should swear by Allah alone. And we shouldn't swear by other than Allah. Naam. This is a different subject altogether. I mean, it's a question about names. Can a brother name himself with the name Rasul? I don't know if they mean the name of the Rasul or do they mean the word Rasul. I guess they mean the word Rasul. That's what it looks like. Can a brother have the name Rasul? And it's a word. I don't know that there's a prohibition from using the word Rasul. You know.
Baraka?
Yeah, I think they're saying something different here. I think they're just saying as a name. Can a person have a name? Their name is Rasul. Allahu A'lam. I don't know that there's any prohibition of it. Allah knows best. But, I mean, it's a word. And it's not something that belongs to... I mean, it's a word. It's not a word that... if somebody says they are Rasulullah, that's something different. I mean, if a person says his name is Malik, that's different than saying his name is Al-Malik. But his name is Malik, it's permissible. But if they say Al-Malik, that means that's the name of Allah. So if somebody says they are Rasulullah, that's different. But if somebody says his name is Rasul, his name is Malik or something, I don't know that there's any prohibition. Last question, inshallah.
Can you name your child, your son, Quran?
Quran? Quran.
Quran,
Quran. Quran, like the Quran? I don't know. Allahu A'lam. I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit strange, you know, but... I don't want to say that you can't do it. Allahu A'lam. I mean, we didn't hear of it. In general, Allah knows best. I mean, we could look and see if some scholars gave some fatwa concerning this. But in general, naming your children, we should name our children with the names that are known. Okay, the names of the prophets, the names of Sahaba, the names that, you know, came in the Quran and the Sunnah. We shouldn't try to make up new names that nobody ever named themselves this and now we came up with something new. I mean, be safe. Name yourself, you know, with the good names. You know, we have a lot of good names. Names of Allah, names of the prophets, names of Sahaba. Khalas, we don't need to make up something different. You know, come up with a new thing, invent something new. نعم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.